Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name to each of you. Special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. The message that I felt led to preach this morning has been, it's kind of been born out of several other messages that I recently heard. One being a message Brother Delmer preached here. Which night it was, maybe Thursday night, forget, on the danger of taking wrong paths. But recently I heard two other messages that were somewhat similar to that. That affected my thinking. Also, in reflecting over the past number of months, I'm not sure how many months it's been, that it seems like that I've had the opportunity to attend a fairly large number of either viewings and or funerals. You might wonder what that has to do with it, with generating a message. But I find times of death, visiting at a viewing or funeral, to be a very interesting thing in a number of ways. And one of the very interesting things that it does is it gives us an opportunity to, or it provides us with a broader view of some different families that we normally maybe are only seeing a small snapshot of. And it's an interesting opportunity to observe the variety of choices that people have made and where those choices have led and how often it is that we observe those that have grown up in a godly home, they've grown up under faithful teaching of God's Word, and yet somehow, somewhere along the way, they have turned away from the Lord or turned away from living according to clear teachings in God's Word. So the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning that I would like to look at this morning. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 for our text verses. Hebrews 2, and I would like to read through verse 4. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So, this verse 1 here starts with the word therefore. And as we look at Scripture, when we see the word therefore, it makes us go back and look to see what it's referring to. And so in this case, it is referring back to what was said previously in chapter 1. So I would like to go back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and tie back into a thought that is there. So I'd like to read those verses at this time. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Actually, we can go ahead and read that. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Actually, I think I was only planning to read through verse 3, but that's okay. So here we're told in chapter 1 that in the past time, and we talked about this in Sunday school class some, in the past time or in the Old Testament times, God spoke to his people through the prophets. He would have a message for his people, and through the Spirit, he would translate that message to those who would speak and write that message so that the people could hear and understand it. But he says that in these last days, or in the New Testament era, there's a change, that God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see a contrast here of earlier God speaking through the prophets, but now, today, he has spoken to us through his Son. And the writer here in Hebrews goes on to give us the credentials of God's Son. Number one, he's God's Son. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator. It says that he's the brightness of his, or of God's glory, and the express image of his person. In other words, he is the exact representation of God. He displays God's character to us. And Jesus himself said that in John 14:9, where he said that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He also says that he upholds all things, he sustains the creation, and he sits at the Father's right hand. So now, that's laying the groundwork for the therefore in chapter 2. Because of this, he's referring to the message. He says that we have received a message from God's own Son that he had just described, that he had just described how that God has spoken to us, and this time through his Son. And he's not negating the fact that the prophet spoke, but I believe that he is telling us that we have something that we need to be even more diligent to hear and to understand and to obey than the word of the prophets. The message from God's own Son. A message from God through his Son, he's saying, should be something that we carefully heed, we carefully pay attention to. He says that we should give earnest heed. I don't know what you think of when you think of earnest heed, being earnest about something, but to be earnest indicates an intense, serious state of mind, determination, and focus. And why should we give earnest heed? Why does he say we should give earnest heed? Number one is because we have a message from God through his Son. But we need to take earnest heed because of the danger of letting things slip, lest at any time we should let them slip. Found it interesting that the original Greek word there for letting things slip has somewhat of the idea of a leaky vessel, to have a bucket with a hole in it, and you can fill it up, and eventually it's empty and dry again. Everything is leaked out. So the warning is that we wouldn't be hearing and taking in the teachings that we have through the Lord, through his apostles, and then just letting it ooze out and not holding on to what we have been given. You see, truth and instruction are only of value if they're retained and put to use. Truth and instruction learned but forgotten is useless. Truth learned and retained but ignored is useless as well. But it's truth learned, retained, and put into daily practice that is of much value. In verse 2, the writer speaks of the word spoken by angels, and I'm not sure exactly what all is meant by that, but I believe by the context that it's referring to the word that came to us through the prophets. And he's saying that if the disobedience to that word that came through the prophets brought punishment, how much greater punishment will we receive if we ignore, if we neglect to obey, to put into practice the message of salvation that's given to us through God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? So what's that neglect? What's he referring to when he speaks of neglecting so great salvation? Is he simply referring to the act or the moment of salvation, the act of praying the sinner's prayer? Is he warning against the failure to make a commitment to serve the Lord? I believe that he's referring to much more than that. More than the initial act or the one-time commitment. And I found the comment from the commentator Adam Clark that summed up my feelings. He said that the salvation mentioned here is the whole system of Christianity. He's speaking of something that is not a one-time experience, but it is a life experience. It's an everyday commitment to serve the Lord, an everyday commitment to live in obedience to that message that we have received through God's Son, an everyday commitment to die to self and to live for Him, not to be caught in the trap of viewing salvation as a one-time event, and then to just simply move on and to live life for self without submitting our daily life to the instruction and the commands of Scripture. So that's the message of salvation. And that message that came from Christ, he says in verse 4, was not without confirmation. He says it was confirmed by those that heard it. Who were they that heard it? I have to think, first of all, of the disciples that were there to witness, to listen, and to record the words of the Lord. He also says that it was confirmed through signs and wonders, or through miracles. Those miracles were wrought by the Lord Himself as well as His apostles later on. And then he goes on to say, as well through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So this message is confirmed through these things. And I found the last thing listed here that confirms the message from the Lord is very intriguing. Through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So God makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 12 that through the Spirit, He gives various gifts to the believers for the good of the church, for strengthening the church, for building it up, and for spreading the gospel message. And so I think that we can, without doing injustice to this passage, I think that we can say that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, is still confirmed. Let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. That it has been confirmed by the Lord's apostles, by the writings we have recorded in God's Word. But I believe that it is still being confirmed today as it is faithfully represented by those who teach and preach and share the gospel message. Those that make the gospel message applicable to life today. As we make application, as we talk about it, as we teach God's Word, we again confirm the validity of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were good then, and they're still good today in 2024. So we still, yet today, confirm the validity of that message that we've been given. So that's just kind of a brief overview of these verses and some thoughts that it generated on my part. Now I'd like to think of some application on our part today. So what are we called to give the most earnest heed to today? In verse 1, it says that we should give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Obviously, the most important thing that we have heard is the Word of God. But I had to think that, does that not also include the teachings that we have received from God's Word? And I had to think about our revival meetings previous week. We listened to a lot of good teaching, good solid teaching from God's Word. Teaching that made the words of our Lord Jesus applicable to our lives today. Are we giving earnest heed to what we heard the other week? Are we remembering the things we heard, the challenges we received, the commitments we have made? You see, only through earnestness, only through determination on our part, are we going to hold on to those truths, and those blessings that we received. Otherwise, we'll just let them slip away, because we are, by nature, very leaky vessels. It takes diligence to hold on to what we have received. So we need to hold on to God's Word, and we need to hold on to the teachings we have received from God's Word. But I believe that not only should we hold on to the recent teachings that we have heard, but we need to hold on to the collective teachings that we have heard and we have inherited that have been passed down from us from those that have went on before many years and maybe even centuries before us. We have a church setting where we have a rich heritage that's been passed down through many generations, a heritage of biblicist teaching, a heritage of taking God's Word seriously at face value, a heritage of applying Scripture, scriptural truth to everyday life. Brothers and sisters, that's something that's worth holding on to, something we should be giving earnest heed to, because it's something that many churches today have let slip, and the results are not good. Doctrines such as separation and nonconformity, non-resistance, separation from political involvement, living a life of simplicity, those are just a few that came quickly to my mind that we can see many people letting go, letting slip these things. We're talking about doctrines that are based firmly on principles that we find in God's Word, teachings from our Lord, God's Son, and to let them slip is to move away from a biblical position. To let them slip is to ignore the words of God's Son. So why do we let things slip? I've already mentioned that we're leaky vessels. We're human. And as humans, we're extremely forgetful. Some of us more so than others. We hear good teaching and preaching. We learn good lessons. And before you know it, we've forgotten them. Years ago, we were with some friends. It was Janet and I and another couple and I think one other person. At the end of a week, it was either a Friday or a Saturday, and the subject of the message from the previous Sunday came up. And we were all at the same church that Sunday, and of five adults, none of us could remember what the preacher preached about. That's being a leaky vessel. It's a proven, it's just how we are. It takes effort to retain what we have heard. One thing that you can do if you want to help that is you can take notes when you're listening to a message or sitting under instruction. It's a proven fact that to write down what we hear, even if we never go back and read those notes, the act of handwriting something out helps to fix it in our minds. So there are things we can do to help to plug that leaking vessel. We should also make a practice of meditating on what we have heard. The truth of the word from the sermon this week or last week or whatever it may have been that you heard. Maybe something, a message you listened to through the week. Meditate on it. Think about those things. Ruminate on the challenges that you receive from God's word. Don't just let them go in one ear and out the other. Put some effort into thinking about those things and the challenges and the blessings. We can also be like the Bereans who listened to Paul's preaching. And they went home and they searched the scriptures daily to see if what he was teaching was true, was accurate from the Word of God. We also tend to be forgetful because we have so many things in this life that crowd out the teaching we receive from the Word. Be cautious about what you're filling your mind with, because many things will crowd out the things of God's Word. Jesus warned of that in the parable of the sower, when he talked about the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, crowding out what has been planted and taken root. Another reason that we let things slip, or that we tend to, is that we live in the flesh. And our flesh rebels against things of God. And so it's easier to let go of something that's challenged us spiritually than it is to hold on to it and to maybe make a change in my life. Just simpler. It's easier. It's less complicated. Paul, in writing to Timothy, warned of those in the last days who would gather around them teachers having itching, or because of their, the King James says, teachers having itching ears. But the literal interpretation is they would gather, because of their itching ears, they would gather around them a great number of teachers to teach them what their itching ears wanted to hear. You know, that sounds purposeful. That sounds like somebody that consciously decides that I'm going to ignore this teaching from Scripture and I'm going to find somebody that tells me it's okay. And that happens at times. But I really wonder if maybe many times that gathering around of teachers that say what I want to hear is simply due to our human nature of looking for an easier way. Rather than a purposeful, conscious turning away from the truth, it's simply a giving in to our normal tendency to look for an easier way. And so we hear something that sounds easier, that doesn't require the commitment. And so we gravitate that direction. Be cautious. Because today, more than ever, if we aren't determined to hold on to what we have received from the Lord, it's easier today, more than ever, to find, and maybe even somewhat inadvertently, to find those teachers that say things that tickle our ears. Those things that will lead us away from sound doctrine. Lead us the easy path rather than the path of truth. We need to be vigilant and committed to sound doctrine. And we need to be vigilant and committed to crucifying the flesh. And as Christ taught us, taking up our cross daily Because if we aren't committed to crucifying our flesh daily, we will gravitate towards the easy path that is represented by those who are not teaching the full gospel. We also can let things slip because we doubt God and don't take His commandments seriously. People today are still asking that age-old question that Satan asked there in the Garden of Eden when he presented himself before Eve, "Hath God said?" It comes disguised in many different versions, but that is the root of the question that is asked again and again today. Hath God said? Many things that God has clearly said have been questioned, are being questioned, and redefined for those who don't want to take God at face value. And it's easy to see as we look out there in society, it's easy to see that question playing out in many ways as people question what God has made, what God has set in place, the commandments that He has given to live by. But don't fool yourself. That question comes awfully close home sometimes. Hath God said? We need to be vigilant. Another thing that can cause us to let things slip is pride. I figured that might surprise you to find that on my list. But I'm bringing that because of my own observations of my own life. And I think that what I have struggled with in my own life is probably true for a lot of other people, maybe not all of you. But I find that I have had, still struggle with, a certain tendency to think that I'm smarter and that I understand things better than the generations that came before me. We live in a modern time. We have access to a lot of information. And so certainly, I know better than somebody did in 1920, don't I? And I probably know a good bit better than somebody from 1750. And a lot better than somebody from 1300. See, that's pride. Because as I've analyzed myself, and I've read some writings from men who went before me, I've come to the conclusion that most of them were a lot smarter than I am. When I start to think that I know more than those that went before me, that those that have wrestled with the truths of Scripture and the interpretations and the applications of Scripture who have went before me, when I start to think that I am smarter than them, I am struggling with pride, or I am giving in to pride in my life. That doesn't say that there's never a place to question. There's never a place for us to do our own study. But we need to be humble. If we're going to hold fast and not let things slip, we need to be humble enough to submit ourselves to others, even others who are long dead, others that have wrestled with interpretations and applications of Scripture. I've seen where that has not happened. And it seems like it puts us then in a position where every generation has to reinvent the wheel. Every generation has to come up with their own interpretations and applications of Scripture. And trust me, that's a good recipe for letting a lot of things slip. We have a strong foundation that has been passed down to us for many generations, for many centuries. Let's build on that foundation. Let's humble ourselves and acknowledge the fact that we are not superior to those men that went before us. Let's accept their wisdom. Another danger we see in letting things slip is that it is not something that is necessarily related to age or spiritual maturity. Notice what he says there in verse 1. Lest at any time we should let them slip. The danger of letting things slip is an ever-present danger. As long as we're alive, as long as we live in this flesh. Satan's goal is to tempt every believer away from a steadfast commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Away from a steadfast commitment to practical application within the life. So we all need to be vigilant. It doesn't matter our age, how long we've been a believer. All of us are capable of letting things slip. And I've seen it. I've seen a person very near the end of life drop clear scriptural teachings. Never quit being vigilant. How sad it is to see those who grew up under sound biblical teaching, sound biblical instruction, in good godly homes, who have turned away from clear biblical commands, commands that they even once embraced. And we look on and we wonder, how did it happen? How did this person get from here to here? How did they give up so much? And normally, there's exceptions, but normally, it didn't happen suddenly, it happened gradually. I've observed those whose life has been a progression of little incremental moves away from sound biblical practice. And then we often see where that happens. It carries somebody to a certain point, and then the next generation takes off where they're at and just keeps on and just throws everything away. How sad. How sad. I just happened to have a conversation a few days ago, totally unrelated to this subject, but a man and I were talking about somebody from out of the area and some family connections, and he was giving me a little bit of a background on some of his extended family and who all he was related to. And he made an interesting observation about part of his extended family, generation or so back. It was a large family, and he said that in that one generation, it seemed that there was a goal within the siblings to become well-to-do, become successful materially. I think he used the term that they sought fame and fortune, and they were successful. A lot of them were very successful. But then he made the observation that there was, I think it was one and maybe two of those siblings who somehow had a different view of life, a different goal in life, and they remained faithful. While all those others that were seeking fame and fortune lost so much spiritually. I'm not 100% sure where they are at spiritually, but they left a lot of good, solid biblical teaching behind. But this one or two other families that had a different goal were able to remain faithful. And then their children, in turn, remained faithful. How different the outcome when people determine to give the most earnest heed to the instruction of God's Word, no matter the cost. Maybe it cost that family who took a different route, the fame and fortune that the others gained. but they gained so much more. They gained a family that was serving the Lord faithfully. So I ask, brothers and sisters, do we take seriously enough the reality that we can easily let things slip, the things that have been taught to us? And are we committed to being vigilant, to giving the most earnest heed that we would not let those things slip? Earnestness speaks of purpose and putting energy into it. Are we committed to crucifying the desires that would tempt us to let things slip? My prayer is that we would all be committed to being faithful, to not letting things slip. But if we're going to be successful in that, it's not going to just happen. It's going to take purpose. It's going to take commitment. And it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. We're going to need to give earnest heed, not half-hearted heed. We'll need action, not lip service. We'll need commitment and not compromise. So I ask, are you willing to put forth the effort? Are you willing to make the sacrifices necessary so that you and so that I do not let slip what God has delivered to us through His Son? May God give us strength.